A stone gateway leading into Maymont's Italian garden is inscribed with Via Florum, or Flowering Way.
This is the way Mrs. Dooley would have come from her house to check on her Italian garden on a daily basis.
Author Mary Lynn Bayless says at one time, this 100-acre estate had 600 rose bushes.
There's one of them, and notice it's pink.
Hundreds of thousands of people come to Maymont each year to explore the Italian and Japanese gardens and tour the ornate mansion, still filled with the Dooley family's furniture, artwork, and books. But Bayla says guests often ask, who were the Dooleys?
They weren't known very well, even in Richmond. We knew their names. We knew they were very generous, that Mrs. Dooley had given the first public library in his name. She had given the money for Crippled Children's Hospital, which is now called Children's Hospital. He had given a hospital at MCV called Dooley Hospital. And he was always on the board of St. Joseph's, what is now called St. Joseph's Villa. And I said, well, these people, surely we need to know more about them.
Bayless's new book, The Dooleys of Richmond, documents two generations of the family. She traces their early years, emigrating from Limerick, Ireland in 1834. She follows John Dooley as he built a successful hat manufacturing company and became a major in the Confederate Army. After son James was wounded and taken prisoner of war, John Dooley organized the Richmond Ambulance Committee.
Everybody in Richmond worried about their brothers, their fathers, their uncles. Whenever a train came in, they would rush to the railroad station. But there was no organized information, no posted lists of wounded, nothing in the newspaper with the names for over a week. And then finally, they learned that their son had been left on the battlefield, but saved. He wasn't dead. And John Dooley said, this is just too much. He was a very efficient businessman, and he owned railroad stock. And he said, let's see if we can't organize the railroads, and let's see if I can't get some volunteers who will go to the battlefields and remove the wounded. And in fact, that's what they did for the next 4 years. There were 90 Richmond men who volunteered for the Richmond Ambulance Committee, and at their own expense went to every battle in Virginia and removed the wounded, both from the Northern, from the Union Army and the Confederate Army, and brought them back to hospitals in Richmond. And churches and warehouses and people's houses were turned into hospitals. There weren't even enough hospitals at first. He and one of his associates actually turned one of their own warehouses into Dooley and Richardson's Hospital. And they hired a surgeon to look after the wounded there.
Son James Dooley was a lawyer and spent 7 years in the House of Delegates. Like his father, he had a shrewd sense for business and began investing in real estate and railroads.
By 1880, 2 years after he left the legislature, he bought his first stock. He and one other lawyer, Thomas Muldrup Logan, who's kind of been forgotten, he was up here from South Carolina, but he was a good lawyer, bought some shares in the Richmond and Danville, where James Dooley's father had been an original investor. And then they bought more a year later when the Pennsylvania Railroad, who mostly owned the Richmond and Danville, decided to pull out. They'd poured money into rebuilding it, and then they pulled out. And so the young men gathered as much money as they could from as many people as they could, and they bid at an auction for it, and they got it.
Then they had to raise more money. Railroad tracks weren't the same gauge, and funds were needed to make it uniform throughout the state.
And they realized that if they couldn't just stay in Virginia, if Richmond was to prosper and Virginia was to prosper, they had to be able to extend their railroad out of the state into the far west if possible. So their idea of the far west then was the border of Texas. And within a few years, they actually did it. And that was marvelous. It helped Richmond tremendously. And it also helped the Middle West, because then things came both ways. They sent out industrial products, they brought in wheat and other agricultural products, and some of that went off to Europe, some of it stayed here in Virginia. And we would have come in here. This is his library. There are over 1,200 books still in this library.
Bayless has spent decades combing through newspaper archives, census records, and the Dooley family library to put together this detailed history.
And my first research job was actually making a list of the books in this room for insurance purposes. And of course, it took me 3 years because what I started doing was reading the marginalia.
Many books were secondhand, says Bayless, and some were given to the children by their father.
Books given as awards to them for their work in school. So this here were not just the books of a grown man, but the books of a family, three generations of a family.
The books survived, but the family papers were burned after Sally Mae Dooley's death. Bayless says that just made her job more exciting.
It was like trying to put together a million-piece puzzle.
Bayless's book also examines the women in the Dooley family, their charitable work, volunteerism, and contrasting views on women's suffrage, which James Dooley's mother and sister supported and his wife, Sally Mae, opposed.
There's a very funny episode in the archives of the Art Club in which his niece, Nora Houston, who was pro-suffrage, and her friend Adele Clark brought him a petition, pro-woman suffrage petition, and they wanted him to sign it. He refused, but we know Mrs. Dooley was on the opposite and he had to go home and have dinner with her. He did not sign the petition. Imagine there was a lot of tension in the family.
When seeing Maymont and an even bigger estate called Swannanoa in Afton, Virginia, the family's wealth is evident. But Bayless hopes her book will shine a light on the Dooley's charitable work, supporting educational, cultural, and healthcare initiatives.
Richmond is a volunteer city. You still feel that tremendous number of people who are willing to volunteer for good causes. You see it today, and it's a tradition that goes back probably even before the Civil War.
Around the Maymont grounds, visitors see another investment made by the Dooleys, hundreds of trees, from feathery pines to majestic magnolias.
Every tree planted here was probably planned for its 100-year growth. That's why you know they had expert advice.
The Dooleys were friends with the city arborist, and Bayless suspects he may have helped in the long-term vision for the grounds.
We are the beneficiaries more than 100 years later. Very nice.
For Virginia Currents, I'm Catherine Kump, WCVE News.